Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back. John, return and pick it up with, because I know as you were the president and the co-founder for Cops for Christ, both international and national, and I watched you as you took the cops to tasks. Where was it the last time when you were speaking to a group of police officers? Was that on the steps of the Supreme Court?
No, I think the last time Pastor Ernie was in York, Pennsylvania.
Oh, you let him, yeah. So anyhow, yeah, those dirt.
They were working for Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, but anyhow, go ahead and finish what you were saying.
Well, the federal law enforcement in particular has been corrupted, Pastor Ernie. You know, if you're going to pinpoint it, it started with Obama. And then he appointed people totally corrupt like him, American haters, communists, fascists, you name it. It was a witch's brew of people. And as soon as they got in, they began to, I don't know necessarily fire, but whoever retired and transferred and things like that, behind them, they put in people just like them, American haters, communists. It didn't take long.
We were on this program going, look what he's doing now. Look what Obama's doing now. Look who he put here. Look who he put there. All these radical ideologues. And I think we spent years going, look what he's doing now.
Eight years we showed you. Did you see what he's doing now? Did you see what he did today? Okay. And
Pastor Ernie, yeah. he did to the Justice Department, which the FBI is under, to the U.S. Attorney and the Justice Department, he did to them what you saw him do to the military. All those generals and admirals that were fired, and they, or let's say they didn't fire, but they retired. The ones that replaced them were Obamaites.
They
he
were
did that
purged.
With the FBI.
They were purged. Yeah, they were pressured.
Yeah, some were purged, and some retired.
Yeah,
there's a natural progression of retirement.
So
they weren't true American patriots, Pastor Ernie. They were American haters. So he had 8 years to do that to the FBI and the Justice Department. And then when he appointed them at the key positions, then the people under them, you know, they hired people just like they think. And you had this big purge out of the FBI.
You know, it used to be, I remember doing three radio programs with FBI agents sitting right in the studio with me. And these were good people. They were good people. They were honest and I had some friends. And it used to be when I needed to know something, there were some FBI agents that I could trust. And if I, you know, to get me some information. And, well, one of those people was Ted Gunderson, who was very well known, you know, worldwide. And I worked with Ted real close, and you know, Ted was a strong, strong patriot, man of God. And he headed up the FBI for the whole Western, you know, you're talking about Texas, New Mexico, California, Arizona, Nevada, all of Utah, that all fell under his jurisdiction. And he was a real honorable man. But he told me that the biggest problem he had was rogue agents that were for sale. And now look at them. It just, the entire, you know, a fish rots from the head down. And boy, that head is rotten. They're filled from top to bottom with dirty cops out there now, aren't they?
Oh, they are, Pastor Ernie. And I could tell you that they hate us.
I know. But the thing of it is what we need to do.
Anybody that's an American patriot is their enemy, because they don't march to the same drum we do.
So, John, right now, you're the president, the former president of Cops for Christ. What would your advice? Now, I've preached to these cops out there on the streets many times, and I told them that they need to get to repent and get some integrity, get some character. And, you know, most of the police are good people. Most of them, you know, we support them. Out here, you come in my neighborhood and you see the thin line, blue line flags flying, the majority of them. But you, the dirty ones wreck it for everybody, don't they?
Yeah, but Pastor Ernie, what do you do when the whole department's gone, like the FBI? What do you do?
Well, what you tell them is, John, you tell them that they're going to repent or perish. Tell them that.
I mean, oh yeah, speak to them like that. But I mean, as far as I could see, Pastor Ernie, the FBI would have to be disbanded. They're too dangerous now.
Well,
I don't think you can fix it. I think you have to start over. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're probably right. Well, there you go. All right. Listen, now, speaking of that, in Canada, there's a group of lawyers, and they're a large group, and they're talking to the police, and they're telling the police, you know, support the truckers. What you're doing is not legal. Do not, you know, violate the law you're supposed to defend. Bring on the lawyers, will you there, Craig?
In humanitarian capacity, so I am about to release a message to local police office and enforcement here in Ottawa. Right now, you have it within you, in your own discretion, to change the future of the entire world. Every one of you as individuals and individual capacity as a human being cannot deny how proud you are of these people that stand here in Parliament, because these are your people. You are so much more than the uniforms you wear. You are fathers, sons, mothers, daughters, brothers, and sisters to us all. Are you going to be able to live with yourself if you choose to follow the dictates of a corrupt and criminal, unlawful government who has displayed no respect for law, humanity, or life itself? Or are you going to be the heroes that we believe you really are? Are you going to take a chance on us and allow us, your people, the opportunity to serve and protect the freedoms of your family and your children's families? It is the love of our great nation that has brought us here, and together we stand in the face of unbelievable adversary. With great courage and standing strong, we will peacefully, in unity, through our courage, love, overcome these challenges presented by a tyrannical government that has created consistent divide. I am one Canadian amongst an entire world that can evolve into unified together as one, restoring democracy, freedom, and the rule of law. Please, for the love of God, for the love of each other, and for the love of our children, stand with us. This is our message to the law enforcement that's present here in Ottawa. We are appealing to you now, because every day there are new challenges that we face, and every day our movement grows and we unify. So we are officially asking the law enforcement and every police presence in Ottawa to stand with the people, because we are here standing for you. Thank you for your time.
Amen.
Thank you.
Now, John, if we were to go, John and Joe, if we were to go to Canada and they were to find out who we are, okay, because this broadcast right now is illegal in Canada, but it goes way up into Canada. We have a lot of listeners in Canada, and I hear from
a lot of wonderful donors, too.
Yeah, a lot of wonderful donors, and I hear from them all the time, and I pray they're good people. And they were talking about years ago how they wished that they had the freedoms that we used to have in this country, but we've been losing them, too. But I am just so thankful that they're standing up, that finally the people of Canada, the patriots, are standing up and saying, enough is enough, we're not going to take it anymore. Now, for the folks out there listening, we're going to play one of your own, and he is one of the best-known law professors in all of Canada, if not the best-known, and he's going to tell you, in no uncertain terms, why what Trudeau is doing, and you police officers out there in Canada, remember, integrity, honor, decency, these things matter. These things matter. Integrity. Just think about that. Remember what the Lord said about Job when he suffered so much and still he kept his integrity. Don't sell yourself like a whore. Don't do that. That's, you know, do the right thing. Stand up. Have some courage. You know, be able to look at yourself in the mirror and not be ashamed of what you've done. Anyhow, here, we're going to let you hear from one of your own, and you Canadians out there, spread the word. Go ahead, Craig.
most Canadians what is the reason that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau can enact or attempt to enact the Emergencies Act. Well, take a listen to Professor Bruce Party. He's an expert, and what he says makes perfect sense. And you'll begin questioning, what is this government doing?
So, when it comes to the Emergencies Act, the emperor has no clothes, is the message I would like to deliver to you. You may have seen or read legal commentators say that the invocation of the Emergencies Act has not been proper, is not valid, has not been, the requirements have not been met, and they are correct. And I want just briefly to explain why that is. I don't want to get too far into the weeds, but I think it's important that we all understand what they're saying and why. So, I want to start with the Emergencies Act itself. It is, as you probably know, a federal statute, an ordinary federal statute that already existed, has existed since 1988. It provides the framework for a government to invoke as long as the requirements in the statute are met. And if those requirements are not met, then nothing else works. Nothing else is valid. In other words, the government cannot act in this way unless it has statutory authority. Right? So that's the first point. Second point is this. The Emergencies Act provides for four different kinds of emergencies. Public welfare, public order, international, and war. Now, on this occasion, if you look at the proclamation, the declaration that the government has brought forward, they have chosen a public order emergency. So the other three are now out. We're talking about a public order emergency as defined in the Act. So let's look at the definition. And the words, as is always the case when you're dealing with law, the words matter. The words matter. They define the line between lawful and unlawful. So here's the definition of a public order emergency. It means an emergency that arises from threats to the security of Canada that is so serious as to be a national emergency. Now, as is so often the case in statutes, you have definitions that have terms that are themselves defined. So one of the requirements of meeting this threshold for a public order emergency is to have a national emergency. What does national emergency mean in the statute? It means this. It means an urgent and critical situation of a temporary nature that is either A or B. And here's A, and I'll tell you B. A is this. A, it seriously endangers the lives, health, or safety of Canadians, and is of such proportions as to exceed the capacity or authority of a province to deal with. That's A. B is seriously threatens the ability of the government to preserve the sovereignty, security, and territorial integrity. Now, those are the two choices. It's got to be A or B. And in this case, I'll get to in a minute, the government has chosen A. So forget B. And the final bit of that definition is, and that cannot be effectively dealt with under any other law of Canada. Okay, so we're racking up requirements here. What do we have so far? Number one, in order to be validly invoked, there has to be a public order emergency that, number one, threatens the security of Canada. Number two, seriously endangers the lives, health, and safety of Canadians. Number three, exceeds the capacity or authority of a province to deal with. And number four, is not able to be effectively dealt with under any existing laws. If you do not meet all those four things, you have not met the threshold of a public order emergency. Now, that's the statute. That's the statute that has existed since 1988. Now we get into what the Trudeau government has actually done. The first thing they did is proclaim, invoke, declare that they were using the act. And in that proclamation, they have identified, as they are required to do, the emergency they are acting on. How do they describe? Well, in several parts, but here's the key one. The emergency is activities that are directed toward or in support of threat or use of acts of serious violence. The emergency is serious violence. That's what the government has said for the purpose of achieving a political or ideological objective. That's the basis for the regulations that they have now made. One providing for emergency measures on the ground, and one providing for economic measures, like freezing your bank accounts. So the question is this: is that a valid invocation of the act? Well, just this morning, in response to a reporter, the Minister of Public Safety was asked what the basis was, whether or not they had intelligence about the violence or the weapons. Because after all, keep this in mind, there has not been any violence in Ottawa from the convoy. There has been no violence. And so there must be some kind of evidence that indicates that there's going to be violence, there's going to be a threat of violence, because here again is the words. The words are, in the proclamation, the threat or use of acts of serious violence. In response to the question from the reporter, the minister said that there was no intelligence of the existence or presence of weapons in downtown Ottawa. And in fact, what he said instead was that the basis for the government's actions was rhetoric. Rhetoric. It was speech. It was the expression of an ideological position. Now, just for a moment, consider the implications. This is a government that has invoked an emergency statute on its own admission, on the basis of something that somebody has said. They have no actual violence occurring. They have no intelligence about threats of violence occurring. I'm sure you can work out what the consequences are if this is to be considered a proper use of the Emergencies Act. Now, let's just take a bigger picture just for a moment. I don't want to get too far into this, and I take up too much time. But just for a moment, consider this. The ideology that is now in place in our political realm is one in which language is being redefined. There's all kinds of terms that don't mean what they used to mean. Racism, for example. But included in that list are some very important terms that are very relevant here, like freedom. Freedom now means, apparently, safety. The rule of law means government taking control of things for, quote, proper outcomes. And one of those words that have been redefined is violence. Violence can now mean words. Honking has been called violence. And they now are taking that literally. They have said they're proceeding against violence, and what do they have? They have words. They have rhetoric. They have an expression of a political position. And it is that rhetoric, it is that political position that they are afraid of. And that constitutes the emergency. And in a way, you know, it does. It does constitute an emergency for them. Not within the meaning of the Emergencies Act. That does not meet that threshold. But in political terms, you could kind of see how this might be seen by them as an emergency. So I'll leave you with this thought. If this invocation of the Emergencies Act is valid, then governments have the power to declare emergencies and crush any peaceful protest, any dissent that threatens their political fortunes and ideology. And that's not the kind of country we want to live in. Thank you.
All righty, there you go. Well,
wow, wonder if that's going to get around.
just one from coast to coast.
Yeah, and just did now, but I was going to say, hopefully that might even be something we need to replay next week. That was a little bit of legalese, but it really explained when words are violence. That sounds like what George Orwell's 1984, that the changing to speak, but we've been telling people about the Fabian socialists and the words are the weapon of words will be the weapon of this new warfare, and they started that attack about over 100 years ago.
Well, what's happening, and John, you know about what's going on up there. More and more of the police are refusing to arrest them. They're refusing. Now, what they're doing is, from what I understand, they're going out and they're bringing in other cops, ones that will sell themselves, or maybe they're not even real police. I don't even know. You know, you've got, you know, Trudeau is corrupt. He's as corrupt as the day is long. And we know that they had the very same thing with the election fraud that we had here. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I think Canada's a mirror image, except it's a little bit ahead of us, Pastor Ernie.
What do you think inspired this? I mean, Canada has been just, you know, behind it, you know, doing nothing, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, enough is enough is enough is enough. Do you think that it was, we know that it had to do with the COVID and wearing the masks, and do you think they just said, you know, finally, this is enough, we're tired of the tyranny?
Right, exactly. They reached the point where they're going to lose everything. The truckers who didn't go along with the government, they were not going to be able, I don't know what date, but the date last month, were not going to be able to drive the trucks anymore. So their thinking was, well, we're going to lose everything, so we're going to stand up against them. We got nothing to lose.
Well, yeah.
So their backs are up against the wall, Pastor Ernie, and we quite have not reached that yet here, but we're heading for it. We're heading for it, but we have not quite reached what the Canadians reached.
Well, do you think the communists are here watching what's taking place there? Because you have governors, more and more of the governors of the different provinces are saying, No, we're not going along with Trudeau. No, they're backing off, and they're saying we're dropping all the mandates. We're dropping the mask mandates. We're dropping the shot mandates. We're dropping all of that. So, do you think the communists here are watching what's taking place and what's happening in New Zealand? Now, in New Zealand, they're trying to Trudeau the people, aren't they?
Yeah, now, Pastor Ernie, I'm sure you brought it to the attention of the listeners, but Trudeau is 100% New World Order trained under Klaus Schwab.
Yeah, I know.
The woman in Ahern, is that her name, in New Zealand, trained by Klaus Schwab. The Australians, trained by Klaus Schwab. The guy there, the governor of California, Newsom, trained by Klaus Schwab. So, and there's more. The Germans, what's his name, Macron in France, trained by Klaus Schwab.
So these are diehard New World Order types. They're manifesting right now, Pastor Ernie. All our listeners can see what's happening in Canada and New Zealand and Australia and France. This is the New World Order trying to slam dunk it right now on us. Destroy our sovereignty, destroy our rights, and place them under these tyrants. They are tyrants, Pastor Ernie.
Exactly. We've been trying to tell people this is a worldwide revolution. It's not just here. It is the One World Order taking over. When you said New Zealand, they have called in the New Zealand Defense Force. It's posed to be deployed because the police could not disband the anti-virus vax mandate protesters there near the Parliament building. And this rally has gone into the ninth day there. So when the police were ineffective, now they're calling in the Defense Force. Vehicles are arriving today, and they are being pre-positioned. This is pretty bad when you call in the military to fight a peaceful protest, and they're doing nothing but what? They park their vehicles. Instead of trucks, they just park their cars, their motor vehicles, and they blocked a few roads around New Zealand's parliamentary building. So here you see the answer is always what? Force. Scare the people, force. Threaten the people, bring, you know, terrible.
All right, so now they're watching right now in Australia, New Zealand. They're watching what Canada does, and they're watching, you know, here in our country. We have the pushback. We're not accepting any of this. And we're telling people flat out about they're killing people. And we're exposing what the fake, corrupt, and I mean completely and totally fake and corrupt news media, what they call the mainstream, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, how that they're doing anything to keep the story from coming out. And, you know, and right now we're seeing what is happening in Crimea or the Ukraine, and they want to focus here. We see Joey. Now, Joey's doing everything he can to try to get the Russians to invade. You know that. I mean, by putting it out there,
And Putin's making a complete fool out of him, Pastor.
Well, wait a minute, guys. I'm sorry. Today's the 17th. The war was supposed to, they promised us the war was going to start yesterday, the 16th. Remember Biden and all his mouthpieces? The Russians would attack. It was guaranteed the 16th. Well, that was this is the night of the 17th. I wonder what happened to the war. I didn't hear.
Well, I can tell you what happened, and that is they don't want the attention to focus. People are getting fed up, high gas prices, and now, and so they want to get the fake news media, the very, very fake news media, to focus on that. Keep people's attention out of what is taking place here, because here in about a week or so, the freedom truck movement is going to start here.
They've already called them domestic terrorists. The Department of Homeland Security said if they form a convoy, they will be monitoring them, and they're listing them already as domestic terrorists, and they haven't even started the convoy yet.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, isn't it amazing? When you look at it, Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and whoever else were rioting, burning cities down, literally, billions of dollars in damage. In Washington, D.C., they set that church on fire twice right across from the White House. And all the stuff they did in Washington, D.C., they were not terrorists, Pastor. And the FBI said, the FBI said that they were, this is political expression. Seriously, I heard this guy Ray say that. This is so they're not going to investigate it. So here we are against the government.
And not only that, but what happened to there when on January 6th, when you had a young woman murdered in plain sight,
two of them.
Oh yeah, I know. In fact, we have. The mother of another one, January 6th. We're going to get that's another article, but
one was shot to death, One was shot to death. The other woman was beaten to death. And they even know who beat them to death. And you have video of it and everything. And the corrupt, totally corrupt law enforcement in the Capitol building there, they're no different than the FBI.
No,
and nothing. There was nothing done, Pastor Ernie. Nothing done to them. But cold-blooded murder.
See, these guys, and this is what we want to get the message out to them. God is not mocked, is he? God, see,
no,
these dirty, these dirty cops think that, well, you know, my boss, I'll get a promotion or something. You're gonna get what you deserve. God is not mocked, and what you've done in darkness, and we're gonna continue to talk about what you've done, as long as you know we're gonna continue to do everything we can to bring it out, because we're not gonna let you keep getting away with it. But my message is to those dirty cops: look, as dirty as they are, do you guys want to see them burning in hell?
No.
No.
No. No.
I don't want to see them burning in hell either.
I want to see them repent and turn to Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and if they do that, will they regain their honor and integrity and decency?
No, they will reclaim their life, for one. And they will reclaim their values.
So we're trying to tell them, listen, you're not going to get over on God. Listen, remember that fellow named Hitler? He was powerful, much, much more powerful, much more corrupt people than you D.C. cops have tried to do that. You're not going to get over on God. You know, he's got an absolute perfect memory. And so what you need to do, you need to repent of that.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, there's certain states. We're different. The United States is really set up, as far as I can tell, different from any other country. You know, the governors of the states are like the president. You know, we're the United States of America, and they all have National Guards, and they all have state police, and then we have sheriff's office, and we have a heavily, heavily, heavily armed private citizens. And I know Texas, for example, Washington isn't going to do to us what the Trudeau is trying to do to all of Canada and the people. And you're going to see more and more. In fact, I think the 12 governors just signed a proclamation like supporting the Canadians there. So we are not going to go down the road of New Zealand and Australia and Canada, even Great Britain, France, Germany, without a serious, serious pushback, this journey. I mean, serious pushback.
Well, I know you're gonna. We're gonna have it, and we're gonna do. We are gonna push it back. We're not gonna give in. But the rest of the world, you've got, is watching this. They're watching people in Australia. They're watching. And if Canada can regain its freedom, if Canada can obtain its freedom, then is that going to incentivize those in New Zealand? Is that going to be an incentive for those in Australia and England and other countries? Are they going to say, look, if they can get their freedom, we can get it too?
It already has, Pastor Ernie. You know, it already has inspired them to stand like the Canadians. Look, on a good side of this, from what I understand, there's been a big run on the banks in Canada because the Canadians have locked up, Canadian government has locked up the bank accounts of everybody involved with the truckers. So now the Canadians are responding, and they've closed, I think, six of the largest banks in Canada are now offline. They're offline. The withdrawals were off the chart. And it doesn't take too much, Pastor Ernie. You know, the banks only have about 5%, I mean, 10% cash at the most. So you start a bank run, and they're insolvent. And those banks can't function. I mean, the people have enormous power in Canada without any type. Well, they have enormous power here, too, without any type of violence. So they can pull down the whole banking system, and then truckers. Where are supplies coming to the cities now for food and everything? What the truckers bring, that's all shutting down. And if they get the banks to shut down, the whole Canada is going to collapse under Trudeau.
Well, you know, that just gave me an idea. That bank that just pulled the account, shut down the account of Mike Lindell, if enough people that are using that bank were to do the same thing, withdraw their funds, would that send a message to the woke out there that, look, we're not going to put up with this. We're fed it.
Do you know which bank it was? I didn't catch the name of it. Did you?
No. I'm looking for the article now. In fact, they did give the name of the bank, but I'll try to find that article, and if I can find that article, I'll give you the name of the bank. But that might be a good place to start, you know?
Well, they tried that. What bank was it, Pastor Ernie? Chemical Bank? Is that the
Minnesota Bank and Trust. Minnesota Bank and Trust. It was the Minnesota Bank and Trust that did it, that pulled it.
Well, we've got listeners in Minnesota, so Minnesota Bank and Trust, I'm sure there's got to be some other banks locally that you folks can bank.
That's right.
It'd be wonderful to see a few thousand people pull their money out, move their account.
Minnesota Bank and Trust, a few folks out there, if they can pull Mike's Lindell's account, you can pull yours.
Sure, that's right. For the same reason, for actually a better reason, if they're going to play politics, they're supposed to be a bank and just handle financial transactions. They're not supposed to be the arbiters of what you believe, whether you're right, wrong, or should have. I mean, the idea of taking away banking privileges because you don't like somebody's politics.
That's
way too far.
That's exactly what the PNC Bank did to this ministry, to us.
Exactly, yeah. And
we violated what the things they supported. And guess what it was they supported? Abortion, sodomy, everything that we're against. And so they pulled our account, and once we found out what they were supporting, we went on in the air and we told people, and the number of people told me that, guess what, they pulled their accounts too.
Well, I hope that just is a reminder that anybody there in Ohio, if you're still with the PNC Bank, why support people who promote evil, who are against everything you believe in? I'm sure there's got to be other banks.
Yep, there are.
Well, Pastor Ernie, PNC is bigger than Ohio. That's Pennsylvania center.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, a lot of damage could be done to PNC if people all over decided that they were pulling out. I mean, it's a big bank. So, yeah, it could be a lot of damage. Now, I think it was Chemical Bank came out bad-mouthing General Flynn, and they were going to prevent his. Maybe they were going to close his account and all. I don't know exactly what it was, but a whole bunch of people reacted instantly to it. And didn't take more than two or three days later, Chemical Bank. Oh, this was a mistake. We didn't mean to do it, and they rescinded the whole thing. So, folks, through the banking system, we have a lot of power, because they only have about somewhere between 5 and 10% cash. Everything else is loaned out and all. So if you start running the bank, these corrupt banks now that want to throw their weight around, they're very vulnerable. And it doesn't take too many to maybe make them insolvent.
Yeah, and the fact that they over-loan, they loan more and they don't have the assets to back it up, that's one of those things that people think our banks are so safe. Well, you just gave a pretty good picture of why they are not as safe as they try to let you believe.
Well, right. FDIC, the whole FDIC couldn't cover Chemical Bank. It can only, it's only built, the FDIC, to protect your money in the banks. It's only for small banks, not the big ones. So, these bankers.
Yeah, B of A goes down, so is all your money.
Yeah. So it's something we got to keep in the back of our mind here. If these bankers start choking us out for credit, stop like Flynn and trying to stop Mike Lindell and all,
it's time that they learn a lesson.
Yeah. Well, we're being attacked on every side. It's just one more way all the listeners can fight back. We keep trying to tell them there's a lot of ways you can fight back. You got to get involved in politics on the local level, and we have to, you know, quit being politically correct. There's a whole list of things that we have to understand that this is a real war. It's a physical, spiritual war. Underneath, it's spiritual, but it is now taking shape where you can see it's a real physical war of who's going to run the government. So,
but Joe, haven't you heard the prissy preachers saying that Christians are not to be involved in politics? It's a dirty thing. They shouldn't get involved. No.
Well, I know the Bible says don't listen to fools.
Well, does the Bible say, does it teach from Genesis to Revelation that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God? And what is the
right.
one thing?
Exactly.
So from Genesis to Revelation, the one thing more than any other that God demands of his subjects is obedience, is it not?
Yes.
And so that's what the Word of God teaches. Now, but the prissy preachers, they...
Keep my commandments. Keep it simple is what God says, right? Keep my commandments, the whole duty.
Yeah. We have a duty to stand up. Now, is our duty to stand up for freedom, does that just pertain to us, or does that pertain, are we to be an example for the rest of the world?
God, well, he gave America to be the promised land for Christians, like Israel was for the Hebrew children. So, yes, we were to be an example for the whole world.
Okay, so I'll ask you two this question. I had a chaplain say to me one time, now look, you know what God's Word, the Bible, teaches. I listen to you on the radio, and you are very biblically literate. You know. So you know that the Bible says these things are going to happen, that everything that's coming down, that the Antichrist system is going to come up, it's going to persecute Christians. So why fight it? Why fight it? Won't you be fighting against God?
No, we're fighting for him. He told us to what? Listen to all those things that he's told us. Run to the battle, fight the fight. He tells us to pray, to testify, to witness, to exhort, to stand in the gap, to rebuke, reprove, to visit, to feed, to love, to obey, to save those that are being led to slaughter, to storm the gates of hell. I mean, everything he's told in Scripture, I just off my head remember a few of those, and that's what he's told us to do.
Well, I had a prissy preacher one time say to me, I don't see where the Bible tells me that I'm supposed to stand against a corrupt government, even if it's corrupt. It doesn't tell me. I says, really? Let me ask you this. And he says, my Bible says that I'm supposed to obey that. I said, really? I said, have you ever heard of something called the prison epistles?
All right.
He said, well, of course I have. And I says, why do you think that they were called prison epistles? He says, well, it's because they were written from prison. I says, like who? Well, Peter and Paul. And I says, now, why do you think they were in prison, for obeying God or obeying the government? And this guy stopped, and he looked at me. He says, you know what? He said, you've got a point there. I've never looked at it that way. I think I'm going to have to change.
We must obey God rather than men, and who is the government if not men, right?
Absolutely. There you go.
It's kind of common sense. Oh, I forgot that died. I've got the book, The Death of Common Sense. I keep forgetting it died some time ago.
Okay, so anyhow, what we have to do, you know, I've got to tell the folks right now, because people ask if I would give out the address of the church, and the address of the church is One Doers of the Word Baptist Church, 14781. That's 14781. Now, folks, let me give you this at the same time, because more and more of you are sending in emails wanting a newsletter. The best thing for you to do is just to send us a little note, letter, and ask and say, put me on. And on that, we have your address very clear, where we can read your address. It's unbelievable. I had a lady, and she's a nice lady, but she sent me a letter and asking if I could send her some things. absolutely no return address at all. Not even a, not even only a first name. That was it. And so here, the best way to get the newsletter is to send just a note with your address on there, very clear, and a phone number in case, because, you know, we send these things out, and sometimes they come back, no such an address. People are sending us things, they get their own address messed up, or, and so, but anyhow, the address for the newsletter and the church are one of the same. It's for the radio ministry, it's WRWL. For the church, it's Doers of the Word, Doers of the Word Baptist Church, 14781. That's 14781 Sperry, Sperry Road, Newberry, Newbury, Ohio, 44065. 44065. And now, folks, like I said, because of the ice storm, we're going to have to suspend Pledge Week for the next couple of days, and we're going to pick it up next week. And I appreciate, I want to tell you how thankful we are for all of those that have made the pledges so far this week. And that address, if you want to just send in a pledge instead of calling it in, we'll gladly take that, And the newsletter is free. We'll gladly send you that newsletter out as long as we have a good, clear address to do that, too.
And please, if you get the newsletter, make copies, hand it out, the copies out to your friends, family, church, people at work. Save the ministry a lot of money and reach maybe 10 times the number of people.
Yep, absolutely. Anyhow, now Pastor Hal was supposed to call in tonight. Okay, and he wants to give an invitation. How much time do we have? All right, so Pastor Hal, you've got 5 minutes. I'm going to give you 5 minutes to give this invitation. So go ahead and take it away. He fell asleep, didn't he? Hal? Harold?
Did we lose him?
Did we lose him?
Well, we'll see if we can call back.
Call back. Harold, I think we've lost him here. We've been having some problems. Folks, we're having a nice storm out there, and it's causing problems. More problems than usual.
I'd love live radio.
All right, please. We'll take a quick call. Let's take one quick call. Go ahead.
Dave and Parma,
you're in the air.
God bless you, pastors. Praise the good Lord. It's been a long time since I called, but I just wanted to mention, I just got off the internet here and paying close attention to what's going on in Canada, watching the live streamers, and it was kind of a sad moment. What happened was this one trucker who had his rig and a big trailer, very obvious trailer with a big company logo on there. The socialists up there threatened to take down that company whose name was on that trailer. They threatened to cancel all the insurance policies for the whole fleet of trucks, put all them truckers out of businesses, all their families would suffer. So the poor guy did the best thing, and he got in his rig and drove off, but not without a whole bunch of people waving and hooping and hollering and clapping and cheering them on, and, you know, God bless him. So he needs a lot of prayer. The guy's name was Eric. He held the line for 30 days. I just wanted to.
He was willing to sacrifice himself, but he wasn't willing to take down a bunch of people who weren't willing to be there voluntarily.
Yeah. Correct.
That's correct. Character.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
All righty. Very good. Thank you very much, Dave, for calling that in. All right. I think Hal got woke up now. He's woke. Hal, are you there?
Yeah, this is this T-Mobile phone for you. But, I was just going to say, you know, the Communist Party has always told people that they're the party of the people, that all they've ever done was persecute the people that they're supposed to be the party of. It's a matter of control. They throw people in jail, fine them, kill them, and everything else like that, like you got going on. It's a total Antichrist party like you got going on in Canada and the United States and everything else like that. But the Bible says in Mark 8:36, it tells us that what profits the man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? And you know, these communists, the antichrists that are trying to get world control and everything and persecuting and killing people to get it, that first minute they spend in hell isn't going to be worth all the effort they've gone through to murder, kill, and maim and everything else like they're doing to their own people all through this world. And but the way to get to heaven and escape all that for good is to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." This world is turning into a cesspool fast as the communists take more and more control over this country and this world. But the thing is, we can escape it forever by giving our hearts and souls to Jesus Christ, asking him to come into our hearts and save us. And John 1:12 said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." When Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to pay the payment in full for every sin you and I have ever done. But that payment don't become ours until we, with repentance of heart, come to the Calvary and ask Jesus to come into our heart and tell him we're sorry about the fact we're sinners and we need him to come into our hearts and save us. And the Bible says that's exactly what he'll do. In Romans 10:13, he says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, if you hear my voice tonight and you want Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you can pray and ask him to come into your heart right now. Listen, world religions can't save your soul. The Pope can't save you. Water baptism can't save you. Your good works can't save you. None of that can wash away one sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ can wash away all your sins. That happens when you ask him to come into your heart and be your salvation. So if you'd like to do that, let's pray right now, because God is knocking at the door of your heart, and he's asking you if you open up that door and let him come in. Pray with me and mean it. "Dear God, I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. I believe you died on the cross and shed your blood for my salvation. And Lord Jesus, I here and now ask you to come into my heart, forgive me of my sins, and save my soul from hell, believing you're my Savior and and thanking you for heaven and your salvation forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen." And 1 John 5:13 says that if we believe, you know, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's Romans 10:13. And it says that he that has the Son of God has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life." You can know it because God said you have it. He made you a promise, and God cannot lie.
All right, very good. I thank you very much for that. That was a good invitation, Pastor Hal. Tomorrow, I think I might talk about what happened today, our experience there at the prison system. But right now, we're out of time, and I want to thank all you guys. You done good tonight, all of you. So until tomorrow, good night. God bless, and always, always, let's do it. Keep
fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.